Hi, and welcome to Common Denominator, straight up conversations with me, Moshe Popak. Each week I chat with pioneers, innovators, and truly inspirational people to learn the steps they take to turn their ideas into reality. My goal is to empower you to dive in, be bold, and take profound steps toward realizing your own potential. This week's guest is internationally renowned mentalist Guy Bavli, aka the Master of the Mind. Guy's performed over 6,000 live shows and appeared on NBC's Phenomenon and the History Channel's Stan Lee's Superhumans. He's bent spoons, driven blindfolded, and even stopped his own heart. He'll share the stories behind his most amazing illusions and even conduct one with me next.
This is Common Denominator, straight up conversations with Moshe Popak. Now, here's Moshe.
Hi, Guy.
Hey,
welcome
Moshe
to the show.
Welcome, welcome. Lovely place. Lovely to see you again.
Thank you so much. So what exactly is a mentalist?
Oh, my wife called me a mental case. A mentalist is somebody who is using the five senses that he has in order to create the illusion of the sixth sense. So a mentalist is somebody that knows how the secret and the delicacies of the human mind, together with many different other modalities, to create an entertaining experience of mind reading and telekinesis or other things that create, you know, seem to be phenomenons in the eyes of the beholder, but we just bring it into reality.
You mentioned about the five senses.
Yeah.
How much does a typical human use of those five senses?
Well, we all use the five senses if we are lucky enough to have them. We see, right. We hear, we smell, we touch, we taste. So, but everything that we gasp, once you see something, it goes into your memory.
Right.
And if you've seen something scary, then the next time you'll see it, it will trigger something, it will be scared. So everything that we do goes into the blend of the memory and stays there. So everybody uses the five senses that we have. The idea is that, you know, there is a perception about the sixth sense that it's only supernatural powers, people that, you know, have supernatural here or only on TV. And I don't believe in real supernatural powers. I believe in the natural powers that we have, and we can be better than what we are using many different skills that I've learned over the years. So we use the five senses, but we don't use the capacity. Humans don't use the capacity of the human mind as a potential.
So in other words, you would say it's more real than illusion, a lot of your work.
It's both. Right. It's both, because what is real and what is an illusion? You know, so it's real in the terms of the results. The results of things that I do are real. You know, if I bend something, it's bent. If I move something, it moves. If I read somebody's mind, you know, I did it. Sometimes I succeed, sometimes I don't. The way to go there are different ways. Some of them can be illusions. Some of them can be psychological. It's all blend of different arts.
And how originally did you want to get into this space?
Well, I, we are born, I would say, blank. As you know, we have DNA, so we get things that interest us more or less. But as a child, I always loved superheroes. I loved all these magical things, Superman, things like that. But I never could, you know, I wanted to be a superhero. I could not be one because, you know, a superhero has a six pack and I was obese and I had a one pack, a big one pack. So, I was the laugh of the class and people bullied me all the time because I was this big, humongous kid. I was like 107 kilos when I was 11. If you can imagine, it's 237 pounds. I was big. So as a child, it's not something that is fun. I looked for a way of how can people see me and not see me as who I am and not who they look in their eyes as this obese child. So I've seen, Uri Geller on TV, if you know Uri Geller, the famous psychic, that today, he's a good friend, a wonderful person, but at that time, was becoming famous. And it just triggered something in me that, he doesn't look like he has a six pack. He doesn't have a logo and a shirt and a cape. He was just a normal guy doing amazing things. I said, I want to do things like that. The closest that I could get there was through magic, through buying a magic box when I was 5 years old. accidentally. I saw that. I said, ah, this is how I can do things like that. So I took what I've bought, and my mother bought me, and I start performing into people in my class, and people start liking what I do. I was very intuitive, and you know, I knew how to talk.
So in other words, your first kind of show was at 5 years old.
The first time I interacted, started to learn and dig into it, was when I was 5 years old. Most kids take those things, play with it for half an hour, a day or two. They put it back in the closet. I just played again and again and again and again. You know, when you don't want to know how things are done and your feedback and energy comes from how people react to you and the joy you give them,
sure,
this is the thing. But my main goal was to transform the perception of people, you know, to be liked by my friend and not to be bullied because of who I am. So instead of making fun of me, let's make fun with me. Right. That was my goal.
I always try to, in the show Common Denominator, I always try to bring out different people's stories. And it seems to me that this was a great tool, how to move through life. In other words,
saved my life.
Right.
It saved my life in general, through this and through many other things in my life. But, you know, it's not easy to be different as a child. Kids are mean. And they're not mean because they want to be mean, because that's the nature of kids. They don't think things, you know, to the long term. So the transformation of, you know, people telling you all your life, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do, you cannot run, you cannot play with us, you cannot. When people tell you, and this I learned later on looking, you know, for in my past, when people tell you, you cannot do this, it's not because you cannot do this, it's because they cannot do this.
Right.
You know, for them, it's impossible. But my goal is everything that is impossible, because people told me that I cannot do everything in my life, I want to show that I can do exactly what they said, double and double.
Are there any illusions that you've done that are specifically memorable to you? Like, in other words, top one or two?
A lot. Wow. That's a tough question, because, you know, I do this for like 35 years.
Sure.
And to be honest, I do it for more than 35 years. I do it for 45 years, but it doesn't seem logical for people. So I always say less than what it is. Crazy things that I've done. First of all, personally, I like the simple stuff. But the really crazy things I've done were stopping my heart on few network TVs.
Wow.
At some point, I did it in one of my shows when I toured South America. And we did it with shadows. I wanted to have this big thing that my shadow is coming outside of my body, going on stage and coming back to me. So talking about like 20 years ago, I pushed the technology at that time to be very visual. But I've done it in a few TV shows. I bent a stop sign on TV, like a stop sign, you know.
In other words, just kind of using your what the audience is seeing, using your mind, and the stop sign is there.
What they see is the stop sign start to bend, and then they come and they check it, they bang it, it's all steel, and all you know, they can check everything. Wow. So that's something that I did that was crazy. What else? I did few promotions, mainly in Germany, but in other countries, for car companies to drive blindfold. So, and then, you know, a celebrity was next to me, and the mayor was covering my eyes with coins and duct tape and all that. And then we create an obstacle course where we drove between, you know, different, I had to drive. Wow. So, you know, I call it publicity stunts, because it's things that they're abnormal, but they look great on the headline, you know, so they bring publicity, and then the client gets great publicity out of it.
I think you would get on the stunt where you stopped your heart. I think that probably the audience would completely, because I know if I would see that, I would.
It's very strong. It's not something I do on a regular basis. I've done it, you know, numerous of times, but mainly for TV. Mm-hmm. I only did it few. I can count it in one hand how many times I did it on stage. Mm-hmm. If it had a good reason, like a heart association or something that we want to promote in a provocative way, but it's not something for everyone. I mean, there's nothing graphically there. It's an intellectual visual, let's call it.
Right.
And it worked fantastic. And in some cases, I had TV shows that it was so strong that they decided it's too strong for TV. So some people really want it and they broadcast and promo it. And some TV shows, they said it was too much for us.
So in other words, they come and they check your heart and it's... Yeah, it's not the wow.
Yeah, I'm connected to an EKG monitor, and somebody's checking my pulse also manually, and you know, they're holding bells, so it's very orchestrated. I like, you know, the thing is this: as a speaker or entertainer or creator, or call it whatever, artist, call it whatever you want. Yeah. And I think it's in business also. You can do things the regular way, or you can take the things and make them bigger than life. My profession as a mentalist is a non-visual art. I'm not flying in the air. I'm not cutting people in half. I do things that are mental. They are not visual. So in order to make them interesting for the audience, because, you know, I need to perform for an hour or 2 hours, sure, depends, then you need to either be funny and engaging and entertaining, which is one side, but how do you make it visual? And I like to take small things and blow them up on stage to be very visual, using, you know, AV, audio visual, and, sure, and lights and special, you know, electronics and things.
It seems like all the go-to places where a typical human's like, okay, that I associate with this, I associate with that, because I remember hearing how much can a brain process in any 1 second. So they'll always have these kind of like default settings.
Yep.
And if you know those default settings, you play to those default settings, and then you insert, it seems like you insert the little bit, and then they're like, wow, could that really be?
The devil is in the details.
Right.
So, you know, if you look at the details and also vision, I mean, you too, you know, as a motivator, as an entrepreneur, a businessman, it's not just the business. It's not like, okay, I'm going to buy this for a dollar and sell it for 10. It's what's the vision?
Right.
Do I have passion to what I do? Do I really want to buy this and sell this? Is it going to make me joy? Because if it doesn't make you joy, don't do it.
Right.
You know, find the angle to make you enjoy what you do, and then you will do it 10 times better.
Yeah. Do you usually look for believer or a skeptic when you're going to the audience?
Well, first of all, I don't define my audience. My audience has their own thing. It's funny you're asking, because it's like somebody who likes this singer and somebody who likes that singer. The question, if the peer person who likes Celine Dion will also enjoy Elton John, and if Elton John will like this. But, you know, you have the skeptics, believers, and the people in the middle. I'm none of them. I never claim, and I will never claim, and I don't care how many newspapers and TV shows, you know, tested me and said that I have special things in my brain and whatever, and I have explanation for everything. But I don't care people that are extremist. If there is somebody, if there is psychics, for example, which I'm a guest, if a psychic will tell you, oh, tomorrow this is going to happen, don't make this deal, do that deal, I don't like it, because nobody can tell you anything about your future. Your future is yours. People can guide you. They tell you, I think it's a good business, it's a bad business, but, you know, I might be wrong. But for me, it's easier to fool skeptics, because they, you know, when people try so hard,
there's more.
They lose the focus.
Right.
But I don't care about fooling. I care about the experience.
Right.
It's all about the experience. So in my show, in the end, everything is vague. Some people come to me and tell me, no, you must have those powers. But in the show, I say, no supernatural powers. I don't believe in them. I believe that everybody can do, every five-year-old with 30 years of experience that I have can do what I do.
So I was just thinking it would probably be super cool for the audience if maybe we can try to do some mind game, maybe here, right here.
Sure.
So I don't know if you I'm just going to say I have no knowledge of what we're gonna do. So, guy, you know, I just thought it would be cool to do this.
All right, let's do
it on the audio. Yeah,
let's do a play. Can you? I'm gonna talk, because I don't want you to sit here, and this whole studio is full of cameras and stuff like that. I want you to take
a piece of paper.
Okay. Rip off. I'm gonna be ripping off a piece.
No. Take all of this and go next to the door, because you need something to write.
Okay.
On
so it. I'm gonna step over there.
Yeah. I'll talk and explain to you what you need to do. So I want you to draw anything you want that you can draw in less than 10 seconds. Think yourself as a 5-year-old, something passionate. I don't care what it is, but whatever it is, it is. All right. Did you draw something?
I did.
okay, I want you to take the paper out, put it in your pocket, close it, put it on the table. I don't care what you're going to do. But you know what it is.
Yes, I know what
it is. Okay, so crumble in your hand. Now, I know that we have also other, I mean, we are alone here in the studio, but we have also people in the control. Do they have a microphone and able to, or can you bring anybody here? So here now, Moshe is going out and bringing somebody. I don't know who is this.
I got Akiva here.
Okay. Excellent. And Akiva, take a piece of paper. Okay. I'm giving you this, and I'm giving you also a marker. Right. And we're going to do it real time with you. Go to the side. Did you talk to each other? Do you know what he drew? Because I don't know.
First of all, I don't know what anybody drew, and I don't even know...
What's going to happen. Okay. So Akiva... I want you to draw anything that you want, something that you have in your memory, in your mind, in your head. Again, a picture that somebody you can draw in less than 10 seconds, okay? Just create it or recreate it in your mind. But before you do it, look at me. Look at me here, okay? And look at me. I'm drawing something here, and you can explain what's happening here.
So guys looking at Akiva right now, before Akiva's going to put the marker to the paper, and he has his notebook open while he was looking at Akiva and myself.
All right, so you don't know what he drew, and you're going to draw it right now. I'm putting it on the table. You can hear the sound.
Yes.
And I'm sending it to you.
So whatever guy drew, I have it. It's on the table upside down, and I have no idea what he drew, and now Akiva is going to draw something.
Akiva, draw something, anything that comes really quick, less than 10 seconds in your mind, just recreate it in your mind, okay? Very good. Can you, now, I don't know if you guys are together, working together, or you know each other for a long time?
Yeah, we know each other, okay. and we also work together.
Okay, is there any chance that what you drew has some kind of connection to him in this way or another, do you think? What's the chances?
We didn't speak about it, so I think very, very slight. I think
okay,
it's
very
it's,
good.
It's almost impossible.
Very good. Can you tell me what did you draw?
I drew a tree.
Nice. I don't know what Akiva drew, but Akiva, can you tell me what you drew?
He said a leaf.
A leaf. Do you see any connection here for two people who work together that never spoke about this moment before?
Wow.
Now, I drew something.
Can I turn over? Can I look at it? I'm going to turn over a guy's notebook here. Let's see what it says. Wow, it's a tree with a leaf. Oh my God. I don't know if you guys can see this because you're probably only hearing audio, but that's what I'm looking at. A tree with a leaf. This is unbelievable.
But what's the chances you will have a leaf and you will draw a tree?
We didn't talk about it before. We did not. I tell you, I'm getting chills. I am in shock. I'm in shock. I think I'm looking at Akiva. I think he's in shock. And I got a souvenir here, a picture of the tree with the leaf. But by the way, I'm just wondering, with practice and training, can anybody become a mentalist?
Everybody can buy a guitar and play, you know, and learn. It doesn't going to make everybody a musician or guitarist or a singer. So you always need to have the talent. But more than talent is the passion. If somebody wants to be a singer and he doesn't have an amazing song, amazing voice to sing, but he really wants to sing and he has the passion to it, he can be a singer. Rod Stewart is an example. He doesn't have an amazing voice, but he's an amazing singer because he brings passion to the singing. So everything is learnable, but you need to have a little bit of talent and a lot of passion.
Well, I want to really thank you, Guy. I'm still in shock. it's going to stay with me for a couple days. But if the audience wants to find out more about you, how can they do that?
Go to my website, masterofthemind.com. Masterofthemind.com or guybavli.com, which is GUYBAVLI. Either of them will get you to the same place. Or just Google me and you'll find me. Or just go to Publix or Walmart and I might be there too, doing shopping for the family. So everything is possible in the gas station. I'll be there too.
Thank you so much, Guy. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Moshe.
Hope you enjoyed this episode of Common Denominator. Join me next week when my guest will be Warren Tuttle, an inventor advocate and the author of the new book, Inventor Confidential. Warren's helped launch numerous consumer products, resulting in over $1 billion in retail sales. If you're sitting on the next great idea, but don't know how to bring it to the market, help is on the way. Have a great week, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks for listening to the Common Denominator Podcast. Join us next week for another inspiring, impactful, and empowering conversation. To learn more about Moshe, head to moshepopak.com. If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to share it. And we'd be grateful if you could rate, review, and subscribe to the show.